Now, honestly, not knowing what to expect or having like a clear purpose for the summit, we were just excited about the experience. And that first day we sat down to have a meal. And I remember Ale and I were seeing all of these beautiful ladies walk by. We were seeing Lily Sadoubi, which now we've worked with her, and Sister Lyle girls. And we're like, wow, this is amazing. One day we hope we like get to work with these people.
We were pretty starstruck.
We were. And we attended every conference, every talk. And at the end of it, based on our different backgrounds, we just got like that aha moment. And we said, I think there's something here, and we should run with it and join forces. So everything started in Cartagena at LAFS.
Everything started at LAFS Cartagena.
Hi, and welcome to the official LAFS podcast. My name is Estefania Lacayo, and along with Samantha Tams, we founded the Latin American Fashion Summit, a global platform for Latin American fashion and design. In our podcast sessions, we aim to bring you enriching and inspiring conversations with designers, entrepreneurs, leaders, activists, and newcomers, and share their powerful stories with you. Thank you for being here. We hope you enjoy the following conversation.
Luisa and Alejandra, welcome to the LAFS podcast.
Thank you, Stefania. It's so good to be here with you today.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
No, I'm super happy to have you girls. And we were just in Houston together, and very, very happy. Everything you girls are doing in Texas to elevate Latin American brands, which I just talked about it right now in our intro, but really, you girls are doing a great job. And you know what? I love starting every podcast by how we met. And I think it's because you guys came to our summit in Cartagena, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
I love that. Luisa, how did you girls meet? How did you meet Alejandra?
So Alejandra and I are both from Colombia, and we met here in Houston through a mutual friend, and Alejandra's cousin is also a friend of mine. And we didn't know that we had these two people in common. And one day casually they introduced us, and we saw each other a couple times, but we really didn't connect beyond that. And one day that mutual friend invited us to LAFS, to Cartagena. And she just put it out on the table. She's like, girls, it seems like such a great opportunity, an event just to attend. Should we go together? And Ale and I were like, okay, perfect. A couple weeks after that, she decided she wasn't going to go. She couldn't come. I don't remember why. But Ale gave me a call, and she's like, Luisa, I know we haven't hung out that much, but are you still up for going, the two of us? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. So it's kind of like, we always joke and we say it was kind of like a blind date. We ended up booking the hotel together. Ale had a little baby at the time, so Olivia came with us. So she was the true representation of an entrepreneur mom, giving it all. And yeah, we arrived in Cartagena, honestly, not knowing what to expect or having like a clear purpose for the summit. We were just excited about the experience. And that first day we sat down to have a meal, and I remember Ale and I were seeing all of these beautiful ladies walk by. We were seeing Lily Sadoubi, which now we've worked with her, and Sister Lyle girls. And we're like, wow, this is amazing. One day we hope we like get to work with these people.
We were pretty starstruck.
We were. And we attended every conference, every talk. And at the end of it, based on our different backgrounds, we just got like that aha moment. And we said, I think there's something here, and we should run with it, and join forces. So everything started in Cartagena at LAFS.
Everything started at LAFS Cartagena.
I'm so happy. You know what? Because for me also, my journey with LAFS started at a conference. I walked into a conference. Nothing to do with fashion. And I walked in that space and I was like, whatever is happening here, I need to do this for the world of fashion. I've never done an event in my life. I had no idea how to get sponsored because that was so not my background. So I think you just have to go open to places, and that's exactly what you doing. I love this. And Alejandra, what about you? You grew up where?
So I grew up originally in Medellin, Colombia, but have been living in the States for over 2 decades now. Grew up in Texas, in Houston, north of Houston in the Woodlands, and went to school here. Like Luisa, we were educated in Texas, both went to the University of Texas at Austin, and have been here really ever since. I've moved around and lived in New York and went to Parsons, and that was so exciting, and then lived in Miami. But Texas always called me. And so came back about 4 years ago and have been so happy to be back. And there's just so much opportunity here. It's pretty incredible.
I mean, I saw it right now that you girls hosted us. By the way, so we'll dig in right now to South to North. But I had the privilege of Alejandra and Luisa host us in Houston. And you know what? I grew up going to Houston all my life. At least once a year, because I have a cousin that's really like my sister that lives in Houston. And what's so interesting is, and I keep telling this to friends, I was really, really shocked by Houston right now. It is a completely different city. I mean, I've always liked Houston, but there's a different vibe. There's a different energy of entrepreneurship. There is, I mean, in a really positive way, I say it's extremely much more cosmopolitan now. There's a lot going on.
A lot happening. It really helps that we are the most or one of the most diverse cities in America. So what every culture brings, what every background brings, what women are doing in the different industries, it just makes for the most beautiful melting pot with all these talents. And it's been such an amazing journey to see, like Ale was saying, the opportunity that has brought us, especially in the fashion industry. You never think of Houston as like a fashion hub. Or I remember in labs, we were kind of like shy of saying we're from Houston, because obviously it's like, oh, we're from Miami and New York and LA and obviously everywhere in Latin America. And we're like, oh, we're from Houston, Texas. And I think it's changed so much. Now Texas is such it has always been, but I think now it has a bigger platform.
Yeah.
How important it is, the Texas market.
Yeah. I mean, here in Texas, we have 3 of the biggest U.S. economies that are just soaring, right? We have Dallas, Houston, Austin, and even San Antonio. And so being able to tap into all of those cities at once within one state is really special. And you don't really get that here in America, only in Texas, which is awesome.
No, you guys get to tap into 2 worlds, which is a little bit of what happens also in Miami, which is you tap into the American market that loves a lot about our culture, but you also tap into the Latinas that we all know that we absolutely love fashion, beauty, and wellness, and all of the above. So it's a really interesting thing. So Alejandra, tell me a little bit about, you guys just shared how you guys met, which I love those stories about people meeting at last. Tell me about the description behind South to North. What inspired you girls to focus on this business development for Latin brands in Texas?
Yeah, for sure. So when we met at LAFS, Luisa was coming from a creative direction, marketing, advertising kind of vein. And I studied economics and finance. And so it was kind of like both sides of the brain emerged within the conference at LAFS. And we saw each other and we were like, okay, like we live in the same city. We obviously know Texas well. We were educated in Texas. Let's try to do something together. And it happened very organically. I remember the first time when we actually sat down to explore an opportunity was when Luisa was working with Susana Vega, which was an integral part of how South to North came about and was the Pitch to Laughs winner in 2022. We went with her to Miami. And Luisa was doing all of her campaigns and all of her creative work for the Pitch to Laughs. And I came in really at the last minute and was supporting where I could. and she won. And so immediately it was an opportunity for us to see each other and be like, okay, like this actually might work. Like, look at what Susana is being able to accomplish. Why don't we support brands like this? And so that's when South to North came about. And so South to North specializes in business development for Latin American brands in Texas. It's really what we do. But our focus is through brick and mortar expansion, customer experience, public relations, and marketing initiatives. And so it's like where all these things kind of converge together is where South to North meets. Our immersive expertise in bicultural markets provides clients access to our partners and our highly engaged community, which we're so thankful for. And it ensures that we present these brands in a really precise way, so that it's seamless. It's the storytelling is on point and the brand expansion can go from there. And so, ever since working with Susana, now we are so happy that we've been able to work with Agua y Agua Bendita and opening their space in Dallas and Highland Park Village, which is one of the top shopping destinations in America. Right now, we're about to open Mayer Colonel in, also a Pitch the Laugh winner, which is awesome, in River Oaks District in Houston. And so our platform or South to North and what we do allows these brands to expand into brick and mortar in a way that's less risky and more safe. So they get to activate their brand within these amazing destinations sitting next to Dior and Hermes, which is great brand positioning for these brands. But they also get to experience what it is like to open up stores in America to then expand and do long-term leases. And so we use our capabilities with our partners. We have a ton of partners in the space of commercial real estate to PR to marketing to leverage all these things to be able to expand markets with the brands. And we think that we can not only do this in Texas, but really at the US national level. And so we're excited about that and the growth that we're going to be having, hopefully, in the next couple of years.
That's amazing. I mean, and I think you guys have nailed something that's very important, the brick and mortar, because we all know that that is back after COVID.
I mean, we want to go back to experiences.
We all want to go back. I mean, obviously, there has to be an omni-channel approach where there has to be. But, you know, all of these brands that you guys are working with, they have a digital presence, you know? So it's like it actually just helps them so much to know someone, in this case, Texas, get to touch and feel the product, and most importantly, get to meet them, because no one will share the story better than when you tell it yourself. You know, I mean, I know you guys do PR, and I mean, one day I'll love to afford an in-house PR, but I still always genuinely believe that no one will tell the story better than you. So, like, just getting these girls to come to Houston or to Dallas and tell their story, it helps for the customer to, like, you know, get to relate to them more, and that will relate to better sales for everyone. Luisa, obviously, you know, there's a lot of challenges when it comes to bringing Latin American fashion to the U.S. and globally for many reasons. You know, the one factor I always talk about, we talked about it in our talk in Houston, is the component of access to capital, but how do you guys approach the challenge of bridging cultural difference in Latin brands into the Texas market? Or there hasn't been that much of a challenge?
Yeah, so that is probably one of our main conversations when brands approach us, because yes, we do work with this established brands that have done the homework, right? And they're ready to go international, but we also get approached with brands that are more on the emerging stage still. And one of our main conversations with them is, yes, you are successful in Colombia, Mexico, El Salvador, wherever they're from. You're successful in Latin America, but talking to a consumer in the U.S. is a completely different story. And you know, the United States of America is not just as a country, but talking to a Texas audience versus East Coast and West Coast it's also a completely different universe. So kind of like educating them on kind of like flipping that switch of kind of reinventing themselves a little bit, and what is the storytelling and the narrative that they need to bring to the US to make a big impact. And that's why this concept of doing extended pop-ups, like we call them residencies, is so important for them, because they have the capability of understanding a market before they have to commit to 5-year leases or long-term leases, and they can walk out with this data, and you know, data is gold, and they can walk out and say, okay, we feel like we have a better understanding of who the Dallas lady is, who the Houston lady is, or the San Antonio, or wherever they're sitting. They have that opportunity to explore the market at a low risk. So understanding that it's a different conversation having your brand living just in Latin America and taking that step of going international, there has to be that homework that they need to do.
For the people listening to us right now, do you girls also work with like very, very emerging brands? Like, meaning, like, I know you've worked with Susana when she was starting off, and you guys still do work with her. And Mayhill, actually, as we speak, you guys are opening up 3-month physical pop-up, which is the first physical space for Mayhill Coronel. And you work with Agua Bendita. But now we're talking about three brands that if you're a very, very young emerging brand from Latin America, those brands are now, or have won the pitch to Laughs already, and there's been a before and after, or Agua Bendita is a very successful brand in Latin America. Do you guys work with any young brand that would be listening to this right now, or you guys rather wait a little bit for them to grow?
We do. We do. When they approach us, we do kind of this initial stages of, we want to see the product, right? So send us some samples. We want to know what is it that we're going to be selling to our customer. So there are some brands that we tell them, we don't think you're quite ready yet, but we do offer the consulting services. That's kind of why we joined forces, because Ale has the background of business development and inventory strategy and all of that. And I have more of the, once you're ready to show face, what is that visual DNA and the brand, the soul of your brand that you're going to be showing. So if they're not quite ready yet, we do hold them kind of by the hand and teach them, okay, this are the steps, this is how you put your ducks in a row before we do an actual activation. And once they get to that point, is it a trunk show, is it like a media private dinner, how is it that we're going to activate your brand prior to committing to a bigger pop-up, or like we're doing with the more established brands. So yes, we love, it's kind of like a work of the heart. We're passionate, we're Latinas, we're Colombians. So it's truly a labor of love of helping these brands understand that process a little bit better.
Yeah. And going back to being open, right? We love working for smaller brands, and we find that a lot of these smaller brands are very open to learning. And so it's very fascinating to work with emerging brands and to be able to take them to the last step, which would be signing a lease at a top shopping destination. But we do have products that we offer, like Luisa said, like trunk shows or different events to introduce them to Texas media. And then overall, like taking them by the hand to understand what it is to come out to the market, the risks that it takes to come out into the market and to be in a brick and mortar. And so, yeah, we kind of do it all. Obviously, the bigger guys, the most established brands, have the capabilities of signing these big leases and going into these amazing shopping destinations, but they also started somewhere, right? And they have a beginning to the story. And so we are so happy when we can to help emerging brands and take them from the A to Z.
Ale, and in this case, right now that I have you, So you work on the business because your background is the business strategy component. What is one of the I mean, you guys have talked a little bit about the strategies that you guys create for these brands to develop, to enter a Texas market. I mean, Texas market, I mean, when we think of Texas, I know that we just talked about how Houston has changed so much, and I saw it in my eyes, it's very cosmopolitan, but also Texas is a very red state. There's nothing wrong with it. We're not talking politics today. But it's extremely, I mean, we have two radical people. We have the Latins that are very open, and we also have a very, very white woman. And many of them have probably never, ever been to Latin America whatsoever. Maybe the most they've ever attended is, Riviera Maya, which doesn't matter. So how do you tell that story to that really, really white woman on why this beautiful piece of printed dress of Agua Bayo Bendita cost $1,300? Versus a pair of jeans when you've never heard of this brand. How have you guys tackled this this story with this girl?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's probably good to mention and to recognize that we really are, Luisa and I, what we call ourselves, bicultural kids, right? Not kids anymore, but full-on adults now. But we have lived in America for over two decades in the kind of dead center of the country in Texas. And Texas is a very conservative state. What's in our favor here in Texas is that we share a border with Mexico. And so Latin American culture is not this kind of idea that's not recognized, right? Even though Mexico is very different from Colombia, it's very different from Nicaragua, it's very different. All countries in Latin America are very different. They still have, Texans have been able to understand a little bit more of Latin culture because of the border that Texas shares. And so with that, that's helpful. It's helpful that we are Latin women that were educated here and kind of feel identified within American society. And so we have friends and have an expansive community that kind of just blurs those borders. And so that's what we've been able to create here, which is amazing. But also even more important than that, because we can serve as support, right, in guiding the brands with our knowledge, is that the brands know how to communicate to the American consumer. The woman that wears Agua by Agua Bendita in Latin America or Europe is very different than the woman that works Agua by Agua Bendita in Texas. And understanding these different women is what the brand, it's the most important task at hand for the brand. And so I think that all these different components, when they come together, is a way for us to be able to just blur the lines within the borders. But it is very different. And thankfully, the world is becoming more globalized and we're becoming kind of more the same rather than different. And it works to our advantage that we're in the same hemisphere as the U.S.
Also add to that it's exciting to see when we wear anything from a Latin American designer, the excitement that this American Anglo women express, because I think for the longest time they could probably sound like Oscar de la Renta, Carolina Herrera, Joanna.
Those are not Latin brands. Joanna, yes, but Oscar and Carolina, they're considered American brands in Europe, in New York, you know, like people don't really even know their Latins, you know? Joanna's first success story, really, and Silvia. Do you girls think that? You girls think you guys could have done this 5 years ago? Do you girls think that when you guys talk about how it's changed so much and how the Texan woman is now so much more globalized and how, so 5 years ago, you guys would have had the same success to creating this?
I think, because it all kind of started kind of like 4 years ago.
That's a good question.
It was the baby steps. I think we caught it at a good time to start started and ride that wave that was starting to happen of the, like I was saying, this women being like, oh my gosh, who are you wearing? Where can I find it? And at that time, there were no answers. We would say, oh, in Colombia or in the Dominican Republic, or, and I think we caught that wave at the right time. I think right now we're seeing the success because the conversation definitely has changed within those 4 years.
Yeah.
So we kind of paved that road for 4 years ago when we sat at that table in Cartagena and we got this idea of starting it. But definitely the change that we've experienced, it's been a new thing. It's been,
yeah. And honestly, like if organizations like Laughs did not exist, I would honestly say that 5 years ago we couldn't have done what we've done. I mean, you yes. guys have been such an amazing hub to keep Latins and Americans that are Latin in nature or have a Latin background together and merging these barreras
yeah.
between the two worlds.
But I couldn't have done it. I mean, if you ask me this question to me and I tell you, could you have created Laughs 10 years ago and would it be the same success? I can tell you right off the bat, absolutely not. Yeah, we're doing a completely non-exclusive way. It plays fashion far from it. The retailers did not care about giving a presence to anyone. And most importantly, Latin brands were not ready at all. Latin brands, I'll take the credit for that. We were the platform that really united them. You know, we really just united them. There were great people doing things out there, but they were people didn't know that they were out there doing stuff because they were staying in, you know, in their fashion weeks in their hometown. So like, how would we know that they were out there? And buyers were not receptive to this type of style. So I personally would tell you, for me, definitely for Laughs, I wouldn't have been able to pull this through because I thought a lot had to do with timing. We saw the opportunity that there was talent coming out from the region and they didn't have access to anyone. And that's really what inspired us to create Laughs. But yes, before I wouldn't have been able to. But that's great that you guys say that. I mean, because I can obviously, it's a different place now. Tell me about the approach on how you girls take that, because obviously this is experience that you guys are creating, you know, you're bringing experiences, the PR component, for the brands that are listening to you girls and want to get access to working with you girls, how is the PR approach component to all the experiences you girls are creating?
Yeah. So we tap into our local partners, obviously our media, magazines, even like podcast creators, every person in the city that has a platform within the press and media space, we tap into those partners. At this point, we've built that, like, they trust that what we bring to them, it's going to be something exciting. It's worth telling. We also like working with specific women. And it's not necessarily like an influence. It could be an influencer but we like picking, curating, tastemakers in our city or women of influence. It could be, and not in the fashion space, but it could be in the real estate, space or in the medical space, that have actual influence within their community, within their group of friends, to create spaces alongside with us for this event. So when brands come to us and they tell us we want to do a trunk show, we think of who is the woman that has access to groups of other women that would be interested in this specific brand. So I think this is kind of like a team effort. We cannot do it alone. And we love always partnering with people that would just make that whole experience richer for whatever brand is going to be coming.
Yeah, and in Texas, I mean, it really is a southern state. And there's this Southern culture about this state, and women love to host a party, and they love an event. There's a lot of events happening in Texas throughout all the major cities all the time. And all these hosts that we work with, small following, big following, they're all just so welcoming and kind, and they really have become our friends. I mean, without the community that's here, without us being embraced the way that we have, our culture being embraced the way that we have, we wouldn't have been able to do this. And so it is such a treat to be able to work in a Southern state with Southern culture that's so welcoming and endearing and beautiful.
Oh, you girls are taking the right approach, which is the importance of community and collaboration. I mean, for example, I wanted to do something in Houston, I immediately reached out to you girls. I think one of the, an advice that I would give to someone that's listening to us right now is, whatever market you want to tap into, if it's Texas, if it's California, if it's New York, if it's Florida, you need to partner with the right people to tap into the right city, because there is different approach, like you girls were saying, in each different state, in each different city, in each different neighborhood. And also the approach that you're going to take for that brand to that state, because the way you approach my head to Agua Bayo or Anita is a completely different approach, because it's a different girl in some cases, right? So I think it's great that the way you girls are seeing it. Is there any, you girls were mentioning right now about, which we all know how the Texan women, you know, they love to host, they love to go out, and they love to dress up. What are some of the trends that you see shaping in the future of Latin American brands in Texas? And how are you girls preparing to meet this future demands for the market? Like, what are the things that your girls are seeing that, you know, that you guys are getting the most demand for?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question because, for example, let's say the case of Agua, there is a similarity of what you were saying. The Southern woman shares that with the Latina woman. It is that we like to dress up. We like to always, even if we're going to go pick up the kids or go grocery shopping, it's like ingrained in our DNA that if we leave our house, we look at least presentable. And there's that culture of looking pretty, and it's very feminine, it's very girly. But I think throughout the work that we've done, because we always tell people, yes, Latin America is the Caribbean chic and it's the beautiful ruffles and the colors, but there's such a vast story within that Latin American fashion narrative that it has so many other things. There's so many brands like My Head, for example, or I can think of like Sandrawell in Mexico that are doing more minimal conceptual design. And I think people are starting to see that, and women are getting excited to dress Latin American in a different way, or maybe mix and match the two different styles. Like for Ale and I, we wear both brands. We live in both worlds. We're very girly and feminine, but we also like to be edgy and more minimal and design forward at the same time. So it's kind of, it's doing that work of educating the brands on how to be here, but also educating the customer on how to truly, truly live Latin American fashion and design in the whole spectrum of what we offer.
Yeah. And I mean, Texas, obviously it's a massive state. It's almost the size of Colombia, and Colombia is a pretty big country. And so within Texas, this massive just bulk of land, I would say that San Antonio seeks for designs that are like party essentials, right? Just dresses, silk dresses. It's definitely a culture within San Antonio where people dress up, they go to galas, they go to a lot of weddings, they go to a lot of debutantes. It's really Southern in that way. And so people dress up a lot. In Austin, I think that just athleisure would be a clear winner because it's a city that is very relaxed, even still after so much has changed since we went to college there.
Swim.
swim would be amazing and does amazing in Austin. In Dallas, I think it's again more southern, right? Agua Aguandita has done amazing in Dallas, and the colors and the ruffles and the corset torsos do really well. And then Houston is a city that's also more relaxed and more conceptual. And so we think Mayhill is going to do really great here. And so every city is very different. And so what's beautiful is that we get all these brands that approach us, and then we can be like, okay, you will do best in this city. And so far it's been right, but yeah, it's constantly changing as well.
What advice would you girls give a Latin American brand or entrepreneur that's listening to us about how to enter the Texan market, obviously by hiring you girls, based on all the success stories that South to North has?
Okay, well, what we would tell them? We would tell them, number one, I think that the clear winners are the ones that understand and are just so in touch with their storytelling, what they want to communicate, and that their product is consistent. I would say that once you are able to do that within your community, within your city, within your country, you're ready to come to America and you're ready to come to Texas. And then from here, it's a process, right? We will guide you into what cities or what city we think your product will do best. And then from there, we'll keep on analyzing, and you'll get data from these events, and you should cultivate the relationships with the data that you receive, these people that are within this data, so that you keep on just being connected to them, and can keep on telling your story. And so I think that that's what I would tell a Latin American brand: to, for you to be ready to come to Texas, you need to be consistent with your product, understand what your brand represents, and be able to communicate consistently to the customer.
Yeah, running what Ale was saying, running with that data is so important. Again, we like to do kind of like what we call the Texas tour. We obviously start in the city that we feel like the brand will resonate in the most in that market. But understanding what is it that you took away from that market, and how is it relating internally to your brand? What's the internal marketing exercise that you can do with those numbers, with those customers that you gained? How are you going to keep reaching them and approaching them? And also listening and kind of like letting whoever it is that is helping you and holding your hand, letting them guide you. And what's the best way? I think I wanted to say something. We're talking about what you have created with Labs, you and Samantha, is one of the most important things for us is having a platform where you can hear the brands talk about the success. We love talking about the success and the beautiful things and the wins that we all have, but hearing also the things that didn't work and how you reinvent yourself or how you pivot. It's so important, even for brands, for us, for everyone who's starting something, is understanding also the things that did not work and the risks that we take, and how do we run with those and we turn them into wins eventually.
I fully agree with you. For me, I only like focusing on the lessons that we've all learned and share them with whoever we can so that they can learn from our mistakes. And that's really one of the main reasons why I wanted to create Labs, was because I wanted to share all those experiences and the experiences of other experts in the field so that other entrepreneurs would learn from them, and, you know, we would help them. Their mistakes cost them less money, right? I think you all are doing it. I'm super excited, and I love hearing the stories about people that met at Labs. And, you know, but it's all about I always talk about this. It's about attitude. And I've had the privilege of meeting you girls also in person. And it's like, you girls have the best attitude towards everything that you girls. And that's why the success that South to North is having, and I'm sure this is just the beginning of what you girls are going to be doing. So I'm super happy, I'm excited to see what's next. And I'm also, it makes me really happy that you girls, that you guys had that aha moment at Laughs, you know?
We have such a special place for Laughs in our hearts. And thank you for this opportunity. Again, we would have never thought we'd be talking to you for the Laughs podcast that day that we were sitting in Cartagena, the two of us kind of not knowing what was next for us. And here we are. So again, thank you so much for extending this space and this opportunity, Estefania.
No, thank you so much. Awesome job. And I wish you guys go. I know you guys are busy. Do you guys have to go do a lot of sales for Maihel? Yes. So thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.